No relationship is ever plain sailing, and a marriage with three young children in the mix can test the bounds of any reasonable person's capabilities. In Bernard O'Shea's case, this has proved to be painfully, but happily, hilariously true. He's a new book called My Wife is Married to a Feckin' Idiot, and it chronicles the adventures and idiotry of Bernard's family life. And I'm delighted to say that the idiot himself is with me in the studio.
Thank you. Professional idiot, yes.
Bernard, good morning and welcome. Now, how did this book come about? Because I think your beloved wife has had a say in pretty much everything that you've done.
Well, it's not so much that she's had a say in everything I've done. Nothing would get done if it wasn't for her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, it's not like we don't have one of these kind of like 1950s where the housewife... It's not like that at all. It's just that I'm an exceptionally lazy person with very little pride, and I don't care if I am lazy or not. So, like, you know, I don't see... But
she started to make a list of your idiotry.
She said we were during a row once, those whispering rows you have when you have small kids, like, I can't be, you're useless, there's no point. I'd be better off without you. What's your point? What do you do in this house? Right? One of those, she said afterwards, as the calm broke and you're trying to get back to some reasonable level of converse, she said, I'm married to Egypt. And I said, well, that's not my fault. You decided that as well. Like, you know, you've a part to play here. And she said, I'm writing down the things you're doing. And she did. She put them in a little diary. And I asked her one day, I said, give me three of the things. She said, I've got 26 or seven. And she'd them all written down in a little book, and things with, like, you know, recipes or things the kids would say or stuff like that. And about, God, nearly 2 years later, my agent said, look, the publishing company, Gill, want to meet you. And I met them and I said, would you be interested in writing a book? I said, I've nothing to write about. and this came up and they went, oh my God, not alone is it good, but it's the title. And I went, okay, I'll do that then.
But it's not only since you were married that you were an idiot. I mean, you were an idiot as a teenager. Your hair.
My hair. Well, can I just address, I feel like I was going to go into kind of an Irish politician there for a second. Can I just address the idiotry first? But the idiotry comes from, I take myself very seriously. I think I'm a very serious person, but when I act serious, people laugh. So, and that's where it came from. And when with the red hair, I was in a nightclub in Dundalk. I went to college in Dundalk, and I was in a nightclub called The Ark. And I was, you know, shifting a girl. If you're not from Ireland, that's, you know, first base, second base, a goal and 2 points or whatever. And we came out of the nightclub. And I was a virgin at the time. I was 18. And, like, you know, just the holding a girl's hand was an amazing feat for me, right? And we got around to the side of the courthouse in Dundalk where there's lights to the taxis. She said, do you want to come back to me? I was going, oh my God, I'm living the dream. And as we got under the lights, she could see my hair. And she went, oh, you've red hair, yo. And I went, yeah. And she went, sorry, I don't do dangerous. Right, and I was standing there in Dundalk, in courthouse, judged, and the next day I just went. It was the '90s, and there was a big fashion to bleach your hair blonde, and I decided, you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to bleach my hair, and I walked into a barber's in Dundalk on the Avenue Road, and he actually laughed at me. He started laughing. And then, do you know, in barbers, there's always another guy who comes into the barber shop that is his mate. He's never getting his hair cut. Yeah. He came in and then he said, hey, this guy was today. I was like, this is not a joke. Like, this is me at stake here. And I went into a hairdressing salon on Dublin Street, which is still there. And I walked in and I said to the receptionist, look, I want to bleach my hair blonde, and the barber sent me here. And she went, hold on a second. And then the owner came out and she went, what's wrong with you, son? I went, I just want to get bleach my hair. And she went, your hair colour is lovely. And I was going, oh Christ. And she went, why do you want to do it? Why are you in trouble? Is there a girl? I was going, I just want to get it done, right? And then she said, hold on. And then another hairdresser came out and goes, I have two sons with red hair. I was going, I'm being mothered. And eventually, I always remember, they were just trying to be nice to me. One of them said, do you know what? My son has red hair and he got married. As if to say, it happens, right? But when I was leaving, the manager went, now here, don't you go buy a bottle of bleach and dye your hair. I've seen lads do it. And I went, oh, that's what I'll do. And I went into, there was an old shopping centre in Dundalk on that Dublin Road. And I went in and bought a bottle of bleach. And I went into a friend's student's house, which was a real student's house in that it was colder on the inside than it was outside. And I put the bleach into my hair, didn't know what I was doing. And then I kind of felt a little bit of burning. And I got in under the shower. And I just remember my face went on fire. And I was blinded. Couldn't see for, I think, half a day. I couldn't see. Now, genuinely couldn't see.
What colour was your hair at the end of it?
Red. And all my pubic hair went blonde. So my one eyebrow went blonde. All my pubic hair was blonde. And this, I ripped the skin off myself.
But, you know, you do know the way to a girl's heart, if not through the blonde hair. I mean, Christmas present for Lorna.
Pat, I'm going to be judged very badly, but she always says, you consistently just don't get me what I ask for. She says, I've written down what I want. She doesn't wear jewellery. I've done that Christmas Eve thing so many times where I panic and go into a jewellery shop and go, just give me anything. And you know what? You think everyone thinks that kind of thing is dead. It's not. I've been there and done Drummond Shopping Centre at 12. You know, and she goes, look, I'll write down what it is. So, but I hate that because it's like, now you know what you're getting. But one Christmas Eve, I said, I'm not going to get her jewellery because she doesn't wear it. But we always fight over who cleans out the fireplace. She lights a fire. And I think, thank God, in Ireland right now, when you light a fire, your house is too warm instantly. Because, you know, along when we got the economy in, we also got insulation in as opposed to pebble-dashed walls. And I said, if the house is too warm, but she likes the fire, blah, blah. So she always said, well, we'll get an ash hoover. So I was driving home through the Walkinstown roundabout and there was a little hardware shop still open. And lo and behold, there was an ash vacuum cleaner. I bought it for her and it was in a massive box. And we had two kids at the time and they got down the next. She was like, what is it? What is it? And she opened it and it was a hoover. And I went, well, look, you did ask for a hoover. And then she said it to all her friends. And it was like I was the worst human being that's ever walked the planet's gone. Somebody asked me to buy them a hoover and I bought them a hoover. Okay, it was for Christmas, but you know, like a gift is a gift. Sorry, a vacuum, an ash vacuum, that's what
an
it was.
Ash vacuum. The way, you know, couples make lists, things to do, your wife's list: make more time for the kids, do something special with them every day, make more time for my friends, get more sleep, go back running, prepare at least 3 healthy meals a week for the kids, start weaning myself off sugar. Now, your list, on the other hand.
Okay. I hate lists, by the way. Nothing is a priority except telly and chips. The kids will eventually tell you when they need their shots. All household appliances eventually fix themselves over time. Happiness is a myth. Eat a bun. Leave the bins out.
Yeah. Yeah, so this gives us the temperature of your marriage. Now, a lot of guys will laugh and a lot of women will laugh. And then they think, God, my fella's just like this.
And that's the way I see it. Like, when I see the difference between boys and girls is astonishing. Do you know what I mean? And most relationships, it doesn't even have to be men, women, it can be man, man. There's always somebody in the relationship that is, like, for me, before I met Lorna, I didn't have a bank account. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't have, I used to pay my bills. I used to walk down to Fleet Street to the ESB and pay my ESB bill with cash. I couldn't drive. I couldn't swim. I couldn't, none of them things.
And she has changed you.
So basically it was like I could barely wash myself. But in saying all that, if you're so structured, I think, it's like I still think the currency in Ireland is not so much the euro. I still think it's your personality. It's the one country left in the world where you'll go out for a few pints with somebody who is great crack. Now, you might end up in Holyhead buying a horse, but like, who is great crack as opposed to somebody who is a lot of things or is very good. And I think I bring the fun to the relationship, but that's about it.
The book is absolutely terrific. You had me laughing out loud
thanks,
reading
Pat.
It, but also identifying with many of the aspects to it. You've got loads of things going on. You're developing a new TV show.
Yes, which the kernel of the idea came from a warm-up on The Late Late Show when you were presenting it. Mm-hmm. Dave McSavage used to famously do the warm-ups in The Late Late, and he said, Bernard, you big Colchie, you'd be good, we should bring you out. They love Colchies. And fairness to Dave, me and Dave had a love relationship over the years. No, I have great crack with him, but we'd fight, and I mean physically fight as well as a. But he used to bring me out and go, no, they should love you. This is exactly what they want. Did a warm-up one night. So bad that a woman came down out of the bleachers, took the microphone off me and went, that's enough, right? But so Claudia Schiffer was on And you were backstage. It was, and it's still live, isn't it? It still goes live.
Absolutely.
So you were backstage, and Dave was walking. Of course, had to make a beeline for Claudia Schiffer. Anyway, hey Claudia, why don't you return my calls? You never get back to me, Claudia. Yeah, and then she was, and then a couple of the lads were pushing her out. A couple of the sound lads, maybe Kim was there. Dave, do you know? Anyway, hey Claudia, look what Irish men look like. And he turned me to her, and she went. She laughed in my face, and I like, which is not bad. Claudia Schiffer laughed at me. So if the idea was years later, I was developing this kind of Irish Finnish thing, where I was doing the warm up for a certain television show, and a Finnish model, the world famous Finnish model, was on it, and basically one thing leads to another, and there's a very very awkward one night stand, but she gets pregnant, and for so many different reasons she keeps it, and for so many different reasons it brings two of the most oddest families in the world together,
the Finns and
the Irish.
And
yeah,
the Irish.
Yeah.
I'm looking, when will that be on television?
We're in development with it now, and so it's all the nice stuff now until you're told we want it in 3 weeks time, where I'd be sitting in an office with and but
you
it's
being
yeah.
as lazy as sin this being could be a problem.
Well, when it comes to work, I'm not, because I love doing it. So But that, as my wife says, you just can't, just because you're good at things you like doing doesn't mean you don't have to bat the kids now and again.
Well, the book is absolutely fantastically funny. I was looking for a dedication. Thank you to my family, friends and colleagues, especially my wife, Lorna, and kids, Olivia, Tig and Sean. It should be to her, though. Entirely to Lorna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's but I just want to say now that the copyright is entirely in my name. So if anything ever goes...
She gets nothing.
Nothing.
My wife is married to a feckin' Egypt, it's called. It's out now, and it's priced at how much? Thereabouts.
It's,
anyway.
It's whatever it's priced at. Do you know what? If Pat, as I said,
it's worth twice the money.
If you want to change your life, if you want a better sex life, if you want a bigger bank balance, you want your kids to grow up better, you want to become an all round better human being, this is not the book for you. However, if you want to switch off your mind and read a little story here and there and laugh at somebody whose life is a lot worse than yours, this is the book for you.
All right. On that note, Bernard O'Shea, thank you very much for joining us in the studio today.